stations, 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Teleworking isn't new for Americans, but since the coronavirus pandemic took hold, many more who have never done it are finding themselves punching the clock from home. Well, if you're not familiar with it, it may not feel comfortable. It may not feel right to you. You might even become less productive, with perhaps a spouse hanging around or even the kids. So how do you telework and stay productive? Well, joining me to talk about that is Michelle Lee Clark, Series career coach and co-founder of World Series Incorporated. If you are teleworking this week for the very first time, I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you're welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Michelle, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you really. So much. So, Are you working from home?
Yes. Actually, as a career coach, I found that most of my clients prefer video conferencing. So I do have some that I meet in person, but for the most part, it's video conferencing. So I get to do that in my office, in my home.
And you've been doing this for a while, though, so this isn't new to you.
That's right. That's right. But this whole time in history is quite new, so it brings a different perspective to the work now.
How do you make it work?
Well, my husband and I, we both have our own offices at home, so we understand what a closed door means or how to be respectful to each other when we're on a conference call. In reference to my own space, I make sure that I have plants in my office, great natural light. I always keep a window open. I also play binaural beats, which is a frequency in music that helps you concentrate, and I download that from YouTube. So I really try to make my office space as comfortable as possible.
Now, what do you suggest for those who are experiencing this for the very first time? How do they make it work? We have, for example, in the District of Columbia, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser said that 53% of all D.C. employees outside of first responders will be working from home.
Right.
That's a lot of people who very well may never have done it before.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And so I would say, instead of looking at it as a challenge, look at it as an adjustment that needs to be made at home. And some questions that I would ask the listeners to pose to themselves immediately is, do you have a dedicated space? You don't have to have your own office space. If you're not able to have that, maybe there's a corner that you can dedicate so that you can put up your computer and do your work. Also, can you stay on task and avoid being distracted? Another question to ask yourself is, do you have the support of your family members to give you the time to work efficiently? If not, maybe this is a good time to chat with folks in the household and say, this is what's going to be required for me. How can we work this out? Because it's a shared space. And finally, you need to ask yourself, how will you ensure that to maintain a healthy attitude? And what do I mean by that? Ensuring that you get up on a regular basis, stretch, exercise, and take a break, not eat at your desk. So it's just, how do you stay healthy?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about teleworking in the age of the coronavirus pandemic. If you're a teleworker, particularly if you've done it for the very first time this week, I'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's drill down a little bit on getting a commitment from your family to make mm-hmm. sure that you can do it. And I think everyone has seen this viral video that played out last year or so when there was a man who was doing an interview with a news operation. He was some kind of international expert, and he was sitting at his desk. And while sitting at his desk, his little toddler girl came in the little walker through the door in the middle of it. And that was really funny. It was really cute. But I think that's more, that's the reality, more than just something that just happened in this one particular incident for a lot of people.
That's right. That's right. I think, it highlights that video that you mentioned highlights the challenges that people will have to deal with in the home, in adjusting the workplace in their home. And so communication is key. You know, my son is also working from home now. He's a student, he's a freshman in high school, but he is now virtually learning. And so we all have to respect our spaces, but the best way to do that is by communicating and by setting some ground rules. So this is a good time to communicate and say, hey, these are my hours. Let's reconvene during lunchtime. I'm about to get on a conference call. Could we lower it on the ambient noise or the TV? It's all about communication, Harold.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about working from home. A lot of people are sent home to do their jobs teleworking because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's talk to Lorraine calling from Maryland. Lorraine, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? And turn your radio down for me, Lorraine, please.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. What I was saying was that I'm not the one that's working from home. I just came from my daughter-in-law, my son and my daughter-in-law house in Upper Marlboro. And the reason why I went over there is because today is my day off, and she has to work from home, my daughter-in-law, and they have a two-year-old. And the two-year-old, and she doesn't understand that mommy can't talk to her for a couple of hours or whatever. She has to separate, you know. So therefore, it becomes difficult and a heartache for my daughter-in-law to perform her duties as, you know, still a good employee by doing her job working from home.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was just talking about with Michelle. This is your daughter-in-law, so I'm assuming your son is her husband. Is he around? Is he working from home also? What's he doing?
Actually, he was home today. He happened to be off today, whereas he went to run around and do. He works in the prison, so you know they're still going on.
Yeah.
So he had to run around and do what he can do, as far as like get little things that they need, rather than stay in and be there. He's trying, but like I said, it becomes difficult because his days off, he's still trying to maintain the duties that he needs to do, because it's not good for her to go out or the child to go out, you know, more so.
Well, let me ask you real quick, Lorraine, what does your daughter-in-law do for a living?
She's a counselor, like for children with disabilities.
Okay.
So therefore she's talking, and then educational.
Okay. Let me see what Michelle has to say about that. Now, Michelle, with the husband out,
uh-huh.
and they have a two-year-old,
uh-huh.
and she needs, obviously, if she's dealing with counseling with a disabled,
right.
it's going to be really hard when you have a two-year-old. You've heard about the terrible twos. This could really be a terrible two
uh-huh.
situation when you need to work.
Right. Right. Well, this is a time. Hi, Lorraine. This is a time where I would say some creative solutions need to be explored. I have one client who actually takes my sessions in his closet. He actually converted his closet into a viable office. And it looks great. It's a good setup. It works for him, and it's soundproof. This may be a good opportunity to look at underutilized space in your daughter-in-law's home and determine what area can she be in that she can cordon off temporarily while she's working. Another solution could be, and thank goodness she has you, Lorraine, to assist, is maybe when there are critical calls being made, you can take your the baby out for a walk around the block. I can tell you, keeping in mind that we have to have safe distances, taking a walk or putting the baby in a stroller may be a good option. Lastly, I'd suggest, this is something that I do in my home, if I have a call in the evening or throughout the day, I'll ask my husband to watch the meal, or we'll switch off in our duties. He'll cook, I'll wash. I don't like washing, so I'll have him cook and wash. But in any case, I think that this is a good time to see what sort of creative ways can we approach the work.
Yeah.
So that those are my suggestions, Harold. Lorraine, what do you think?
Well, I've got to let Lorraine go because we've got some other calls. But Lorraine, thank you so much for giving us a call. And I appreciate it. Hang in there right now under this COVID-19 crisis. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about teleworking. If you're teleworking from home, perhaps for the very first time as a result of the COVID-19 crisis, I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts about that. Like I said, lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. As an entrepreneur, Michelle, one of the things that people may be struggling with is trying to perhaps reinvent themselves during this time when they are either, you know, teleworking or perhaps out of work. How do you do that? How do you make more money when there seem to be so few options right now?
Yeah, that's it's actually a topic that I was talking about with a fellow colleague today, another coach. I think that, first of all, reinventing oneself is something that anyone should be thinking about at any point in their lives. And what I would say is how to be true to yourself and go for what you want. And then I believe that the paths would open because you're being true. In reference to the mindset, it boils down to thinking in abundance and knowing that whatever you desire or you want to do will come to pass. So it's mindset first and believing that you're working in abundance all the time. And why am I mentioning this? It's because we're in this critical time where everyone is talking about what we don't have, what's being lost, our mortality, X, Y, and Z. And I feel that first you have to believe, even when there's a lot of things happening around you can't control, that you will be successful. So maybe this is a good time to think about what you really want to do, while understanding that, yes, we have bills to pay. So so that's me answering that initially.
Okay. How do you know that you can be productive? Are people more or less productive when they work from home?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think first of all, what?
And I only have 30 seconds before I need to take a break, so give me a short answer, please.
Whatever you do at work, you're probably going to do at home. So if you're focused and focused at the task at hand in your office, you're more likely to do that in the work at in your workspace at home.
Hmm. Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about teleworking, particularly if you're working from home for the very first time amid the COVID-19 pandemic. This may be a new experience for you. We're going to help you get through it. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michelle Lee Clark Series, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We're going to continue this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a bit. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We're back on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Don't hang up. You'll be able to hear the program, and we're going to take your calls next.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about teleworking and staying productive in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Joining me now to talk about this is Deborah Owens, career advisor and founder of Corporate Alley Cat. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you are teleworking for the very first time, I definitely want to hear from you about your challenges. And if you're doing it and you've gotten really, really good at it, I wouldn't mind hearing from you either. Deborah, how are you?
Hey, Harold, it's great to talk to you. It's unfortunate it's under these circumstances.
Absolutely. It is indeed unfortunate. But you also are a pro at working from home after spending years in corporate America. So, and I think, you know, one of the things like that door slamming in your background is a prime example of what you don't want to hear when you're working from home or whatever it is, or you're wrestling alligators in the background or something like that, something you need to take care of, right?
Right. You're still going to harass me.
Without a doubt, Deborah, it wouldn't be me without it. How do you stay productive when you are working from home?
I think there are a couple of things that you can do that will help you be productive. I think the first thing is you have to treat it as you would when you're at your job. You're just in a different geography. So you need to set boundaries so you can stay focused. For example, you know, I sometimes work from home. Sometimes I have an office that I go to. But working from home, my mother thinks that she can just call me at any time of the day, where it would be very different if she knew I was in an office. So really keeping your distractions to a minimum is important. I think the other thing to help make it productive is utilize the technology that is available to you from your company, and also the technology that is out there to the general public to make you more efficient and to allow you to get things done more quickly.
Can you give me some examples of that technology from the company versus what is available to the public?
Yeah, so most companies have some type of software now that they use for video meetings, which is, for me, it's the best next thing to being live in person. So my company uses Zoom, and that's video that businesses have, or they use Skype. If you don't have that software, you can use FaceTime on your iPhone, on your iPad. For my team, we use Slack. So that allows us to have a separate communication channel where we can talk with each other throughout the day. You can use Slack as an individual as well, if you like.
What's that called again?
Slack.
Spell that.
S-L-A-C-K.
Flack. Okay.
Slack.
Flack. Interesting. Okay. From your experience, are people more or less productive at home when they're working, when they're teleworking?
I don't know if I believe that teleworking is the measurement. I think that in the old days, if you will, or there's some people still have this philosophy of butts in seats, like if you're not at your desk in the office, that you're not being productive. And I think that's a very old model.
I think right now it's not about the time in the office. It's about can you produce results, right? So I think your productivity is impacted by a number of different things. Where do you get your energy? Do you get your energy from collaborating with people, running into people in the hallways, swapping ideas? Or are you that person who likes to be in their cube or office with the door shut and you don't want any distractions? So on some level, it may be easier for that person who just wants to work solo. But if you're a person that likes a lot of interaction for other people, it may be a little more challenging for you at times. So some of the things that will help are structure. Give yourself a daily schedule. Even though you're at home, you're still working. So give yourself a structure. And if you like to connect with people, then set up time or meetings if you need to brainstorm with people the same way you would in the office. I think, Harold, a lot of times when people work remotely, they get concerned that they can't connect with others, that they're going to not be able to get promotions, that people aren't going to know what they're doing. Just like you would in the workplace where you have to reach out to people, connect, let people know what you're working on, find out what other people are working on, you still have to do that when you're working remote. One of the things that I want to share with people is don't use working remote as an excuse to get on a conference call and hit mute and not say anything for the whole call. Because people will forget you, right? It's not a chance to take a vacation. You should be just engaged on that conference call as you were when you were in the office. Okay. You can still lead remotely, right? But some people kind of check out. They're like making their grocery list or thinking about what they're going to do after work, but you still want to be connected. And one of the things that I'll say, Harold, that I think is really a plus, everybody's at home or everybody should be at home. This is a great way to connect with people who are always on the road traveling.
I think that's an excellent suggestion.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I do that all the time. I may be calling you later for a favor or something because I know you'll be home when you're not on the radio, right?
More than you know. Boy, I tell you, how do you know I'm not home right now?
You probably are.
And I will be next week, though, I guarantee you, but we will still be on the air. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Camilla, calling from Silver Spring, what's on your mind?
Hi, yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions for persons that fall in the healthcare sector, because I am a CNA and my job requires me to be on site dealing hands-on with clients, and I do child care, I do elderly, so I'm one of those persons that if I do not show up for work, I do not get a paycheck. Yeah, so I was just wondering, because teleworking will not work for persons that fall in the healthcare, especially those that are...
Well, let me ask you, Camilla, have you been... are you still working on site, or have you been told to telework, or what's the situation?
I'm still on site.
You're still on site, but are you asking because you want to telework?
I actually want to stay home and do the social distancing, but I'm wondering how is that going to work for me because I will not get any income.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Deborah, thoughts about that?
Well, my thought would be it sounds like Camilla falls into the essential, an essential role where she has to connect with people. But if she does not feel safe working in that environment, I think it's perfectly fine to let that be known and to see if there are options that will allow her to do some parts of her job remotely. Now, again, if you're in healthcare, I don't know what that looks like, but you could ask to see, hey, are there certain parts of my responsibility that I can do remotely? Are there new roles that have opened up in healthcare that she works in that can be done remotely? Because this whole pandemic is creating the need for lots of other different types of roles that weren't in existence before. But again, Harold, if you're part of that essential workforce, like you're a nurse and you need to be face-to-face with the patient, that's a little different, unless you want to see if there's any kind of virtual care that you can be part of. I had a virtual doctor's appointment just the other day.
Wow. Wow, interesting. Well, Camila, there you go.
You can ask about those options.
Well, Camila, thank you so much for your phone call, and good luck to you. That, I think, is a really good suggestion. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Shayla, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Shayla. What's on your mind?
I was just calling because I'm one of those people who has a child, first grade, and so not only am I teleworking, I also have to homeschool. So, you know, of course, I've had to make a schedule that allows me from the morning to the afternoon to kind of homeschool. And then after lunchtime is kind of intermittent in between doing my job and then continuing to teach him. So I've had to move. I'm in mental health, so I do have some flexibility in terms of moving clients and seeing them, providing their therapy services via video, you know. But of course, it's a lot because you know, again, he's still young. He's first grade, and so I literally just came from Five and Below, getting additional activities and arts and plants and things for us to do outside just because I'm going to have to keep him engaged.
Mm. Any suggestion, Deborah?
So it sounds like she's doing a great job in terms of putting a schedule in place. Does this caller, do you work for yourself or do you work for an organization that provides mental health care?
I work for an organization that provides mental health.
Great. So one of the things that it sounds like you already have some flexibility, but one of the things that, and I think we all understand that it's a pandemic, this is something we've never had to deal with before. I don't think there's anything wrong if you feel like you're still trying to adjust, is letting your manager or your organization say, you know, here's the schedule I put together. I'd like to be able to block out these times in the morning and block out these times in the afternoon. And if there's a way that I can maybe do some of my appointments in the early evening, that will allow me to homeschool and take care of my responsibilities. Because, Harold, I think this is a very different scenario. Typically, when people are working remotely, their children are in school. And so I think that everybody has empathy. We are all learning and adapting together. So it sounds like she's put together a good schedule, but if she needs more time or more flexibility, I don't think anything should be off the table, you know, because some of her clients may be dealing with the same issues. So maybe some of her clients may say, I'd love to be able to talk with you at 8 o'clock in the evening or 7 o'clock in the evening because I've got my kids at home too.
Okay.
So I think we can be creative here. And this is, I think the most important thing is make the ask. If it's not working and you have an idea of how you might do it and it may be non-traditional, make the ask because we're all figuring this out together.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shayla. Good luck to you. And thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rashad calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Rashad, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just want to give a word of advice. This is 2020. I've been working at home since 2011, and I do IT support. And just a word of advice to people who work at home for the first time. It happened to me, and I just try to find ways to avoid it. There's an aspect of cabin fever that can hit you because you can get focused into your work, you forget about things, and you feel isolated. So it kind of helps you to take like a break, get some fresh air, exercise, and then from that point, it doesn't really like, you don't have that closed-in feeling. So that's something I always like to advise people on. You don't think it's going to hit you, but the potential is there when you're just working. You're staring at a laptop screen all day, and next thing you know, you just forget, you feel isolated.
Wow. How about that cabin fever, Deborah? I think that's really great bit of information.
Absolutely. I think cabin fever is huge, and getting outside to take a break is great. I also think another situation that happens is people start feeling really isolated, right? You can only work so long in your home without any interaction and not being able to connect with other people and just going to the grocery store. So I think getting out, going for a walk, inviting a friend to go for a walk, a neighbor, because again, everybody's at home. Everybody's looking for something to do. And Harold, one of the things I'll just share with your audience that we're doing at the Corporate Alley Cat starting next week is we're going to have lunchtime chat. There's no cost. It's just to build community because we know that there are some people who are there working and they are in the house by themselves and they need some interaction. So we are just doing this as a way to kind of build community for people who might feel a little isolation or are looking to connect.
Yeah.
And so if they want to be part of that, just go to our website at corporatealleycat.com. And just be part of a community, you know. It's a way to take a break. We're going to be doing lunchtime chats, and we're going to be doing virtual happy hours.
Wow. Okay. Rashad, thank you.
And you're invited, Harold.
Well, chances are I will be working. So I won't be able to participate, and I will not be doing happy hour while I'm on the air either, but I should be okay. Thank you, Rashad. Thank you so much. I appreciate your insight and your phone call. Now, here's something that I think a lot of people are trying to adjust to, not just as it relates to teleworking, but really paying attention during this coronavirus pandemic. And here's the thing. Our government officials say, stay home, limit your time outside, or rather your interaction, deal with the social distancing. But as we have seen, some people are not doing that, which is why they've shut down the world. But when you're ordered to telework, how do you keep this from being a day off or vacation? Because let's be realistic, some people will just be tempted not to be as productive as they might be at work under the watchful eyes of their manager.
Harold, I think that's a really good point. I managed a virtual team for a number of years. And I think that, again, it's not about butts in the seats. It's about results. So listen, if someone decides that, and if they have the flexibility in their role that, you know what, they may not want to start their workday at 7 a.m. They want to start their workday at 10 a.m. They want to start their workday at noon. I don't think that's a problem. At least it wouldn't be a problem if you were working for me, as long as you're able to achieve those results and meet those timelines. So if you want to do it from midnight to 5 a.m., that's fine with me. For the person who wants to be a slacker, here's something you want to keep in mind. Are you clear about how you're being evaluated? Because, again, you are still working. There are still expectations of you. You still have to meet deadlines. You still have to produce results. And if you're not doing that remotely, trust me, you will be held accountable for that, and that may show up in the form of a lower merit increase, maybe no merit increase, a lower bonus. So don't think just because you're working remote, that people aren't watching you and they don't know what you're doing. People know from your engagement, they know from your emails, they know if you're on the work platform. They know, you know, there are people you go, hey, Harold hasn't been on email for 3 days. I haven't been able to get in touch with him. Those are not good words you want associated with your performance.
Yeah, because, I have some friends who they telework. They have an opportunity to do a great deal of teleworking. And there have been times when, like you said, with your mom calling you, where I may call them, and because I know they may be home, and I call, and you hear, you know, meh, you don't know, where are you? I'm on my way to Walmart. Well, aren't you supposed to be working from home? You know, and I've just always found that to be, you know, fascinating that there are some people that are supposed to be working from home, that they're working from you know, they're working from, you know, Walmart, or they're working from Target because they're shopping, or Neiman Marcus or someplace like that. Obviously, during these times, you don't have those options. But some folks are less productive who've been doing this for a long time.
Right. And the other thing, Harold, is I think there's a belief out there that if people are working from home and you call them and they may be running to Walmart or they may be in Target, that they're not as productive. And I don't think that's true for all people. I think a lot of it may be, when do you get your energy? So when you work remotely, some people may say, I do my best work from 5 a.m. till 10 a.m. So there's nothing wrong if you want to take a couple of hours and do some errands, as long as you're available to your job when you need to be, and then come back and finish. It doesn't mean that you're less productive. It just means that you are on a little bit of a different schedule. And keep in mind, not all jobs allow you that flexibility, but I've certainly been in jobs that would allow me a little bit of that flexibility. But I will tell you, Harold, I didn't work less when I worked from home. I think I worked more, because here's one of the things you forget. Because your office is in your home and everything you need is there, oftentimes people have a difficult time shutting it down.
You know, I agree with that. Yeah, I really agree with that. And you take this job, for example, mm-hmm. and, you know, my producer and, you know, my news director, for me, yeah, okay, I'm supposed to be on the clock from 1 to 9, but honestly, mm-hmm. the clock starts for me when I wake up, because the first thing Absolutely. I do is reach over and grab my phone to find out what I've missed overnight.
Absolutely.
And then I'm working and, mm-hmm. you know, and so really my morning commute is not from my house to the radio station. Really, okay. My morning commute is from my bedroom to my kitchen where the coffee is, because I'm mm-hmm. because I'm already in work mode. And I'm turning on televisions, picking up information, checking email, checking text. And then when I go home, the first thing I do is turn on the television again to find out what I missed between the time that I parked my car and the time I walked in the house. So I do see how that can be, you know, that 24-hour work cycle. And I think that, you know, when we start, you know, working from home, and some of us already have, that mm-hmm. it's difficult to shut that down.
Absolutely. So in the context of your previous comments about somebody being at Target for 30 or 40 minutes, you can see it's not a big deal, because these are people who are working all day long. These are probably the same people. You call them at 9 o'clock at night and you say, what are you doing? They're like, I'm on my computer. I'm working.
Mm-hmm. I see. What do you suggest?
So that's one of the downsides.
What do you suggest for people who are out of work right now, who are just at home and are trying to bring some income in because they can't telework, they don't have those kind of jobs?
Yeah, for people who are out of work, I think it's always a tough situation. I think it's particularly tough. It may be particularly tough now. But I think there are some opportunities out there that weren't available a few years ago. So, you know, now we're in this gig economy. So if you have a specific skill, let's say you want to, you're a radio host, but you want to do voiceover work. You could go to one of these sites like Upwork or Fiverr, and you could do a profile and put your skills up there. Or let's say you're somebody who's been in an administrative role and that role is no longer in existence, or that you worked at a restaurant and you are a manager and you're really good at organizing and managing teams. There are lots of people out there who are looking for virtual assistants. There are lots of people out there who are looking for virtual office managers to help them manage a team. Almost anything that you can imagine, you can go on, and Upwork and Fiverr are not the only sites. Those are probably two of the most popular. But you can go up there and put a profile up, figure out what your hourly fee is, or if you want to get paid by project. And that's a great way for you to bring in some additional income. It's also a great way for you to test something new. So say you've been in the restaurant business, all of the restaurants are closed, but you have some great organizational skills, time management skills, leadership skills, and you want to try that in a different arena. That may be the way for you to try it virtually with different companies, because large corporations as well as smaller companies like myself go to those sites when we have projects, and usually those projects are shorter term, so you're not locked in. So if you're being furloughed for 8 weeks, you could take a project that was 4 or 5 weeks and bring in that additional income and get some more experience as well.
What kind of conversations have you had with your clients about teleworking over the past week or so? Because we started really seeing this pop up as an issue last week. Are they talking about this at all?
Yes, people are talking about it. And believe it or not, I think most people are just feeling very anxious over it, because there's a lot of unknowns and there's a lot of uncertainty. And for some people, it's just hard to focus, or there's a new normal. So we have people who are used to being in front of the client, and now they are not in front of the client. They're working from home. But the concern is, well, this is great that my company's still paying me and there's some things I'm going to be able to do, but how long is that company going to continue paying me to be at home? So people are feeling very, very anxious. I've talked to some people who've been recently furloughed, you know, for 8 or 9 weeks. You don't know, is your job coming back, or is it going to look the same when it comes back? And will it be 8 weeks, or will it be 12 weeks? Hopefully it could be, you know, I think people would like for it to be shorter, but I think there's a level of uncertainty that we haven't seen before.
Yeah. How has this changed your business?
For us, it's actually been a little, it's been more ideal because we're a digital platform. So everything we do is online. So that's why for our community, we are keeping them more engaged by doing more of our online conversations. We're working with corporations now who want to continue developing their people, but they can't do training on site and they don't want people to not continue with their own professional development. We have lots of services where people can do it online, and we've already built those systems. Mm-hmm. So for us, there's an upside because we are virtual from the start. And so people we work with, we always coach people virtually. I do a lot of video calls because I work in an office and I'm an extrovert and that I get my energy from other people. So if you worked with me, and some people don't like it, I'm always sending them a link to have a video meeting with me as opposed to a telephone meeting, because I believe that that allows me to have better relationships with my clients, whether they be individuals or corporations, that when I can see you, I can read the expression, I can look at your body language, and I can say, well, Harold, it looks like you have a question about that, where on the phone I can't do any of that.
Right, exactly.
So for us, it's actually been a plus. We're actually getting more calls.
Or Harold, you know, it looks like you're lying down on the sofa. Can you get up and look in the video?
Right. Or it looks like you're not really paying attention.
Exactly.
You know, can you focus? So yeah, but I think there's a great opportunity here. Well, let me step back, Harold. I think one of the things I want to encourage people to do is embrace this as best they can, because this is an opportunity for you to demonstrate your leadership in the workplace, yes, even remotely, because there are some people in this difficult time who are going to shine, and people are going to look at them and say, wow, they were really a leader. They helped our organization stay on track. They helped keep the morale up. They stayed fully engaged. They weren't complaining as we had to transition from on-site to remote. So there are some real opportunities for people who are up for the challenge. And you have to say, are you going to be one of those employees who's going to be part of the solution and moving the organization further ahead? Are you going to be, you know, Debbie Down, or like, I don't like this. My computer's not working. I can't get in touch with IT? Because people are going to be forming opinions about you during these difficult times. And I'm just going to be honest, for professionals of color, if you get a bad image or brand during this time, it's very difficult for us to get rid of those negative brands.
Yeah, and that there's nothing, whether it's actual or virtual.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And this is what I want to say, too, is I want to say to your listeners who are now working virtually and for those people who may see it as a vacation, trust me, people notice that you're getting on calls, and for the last three or four calls, you haven't said a word.
Yeah.
They are taking notice. They may not say anything to you, but they are taking notice.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be careful because technology allows organizations to really stay engaged with their employees and in some cases track the work that their employees are doing.
There you go. I think that's a good place to end this conversation. Deborah Owens, it is always good to talk to you. Always great information coming from you. I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Harold, thank you for inviting me, and stay safe and get out of that studio.
Absolutely. We'll do that. Also, we want to thank Michelle Lee Clark Series for speaking to us during the first half of the program. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Thursday, March 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.